The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here again with
me,
Robin, Miss Robin, affectionately known as Sparky, and our producer, Chris Klaproth.
They're picking on me. Y'all are mean.
We're mean.
Yeah, we're so bad.
Did you ever hear the story in the Bible about the tortoise and the hare?
Okay, Alan, beat a dead horse.
Ah, sorry. I just had to throw that in.
I already told John B. I'll never hear the end of this one.
John B., he's a good dude.
I like him.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
You don't have a dog, right?
Sure.
No, you don't have
no,
a dog.
No, I don't have a dog. No, but for the story, yeah.
Yeah, Robin, you have a dog.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, you have two dogs that equal one.
One.
But that's about a half a dog high when you put both of them together. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, any of y'all have ever watched Swamp People?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, we have.
Yes.
I have. Oh, you never have.
Shoot 'em.
Yeah, we got the, you know, we got the highlights of the
exactly.
Shoot 'em. Well, Pecan Island is where one of the stars, Liz Cavalier, is from. And Liz is, I think, on our Maryland Hunting Quarterly page.
Oh, she Swamp People?
Yeah. The gator hunters.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, this is out of Pecan Island, Louisiana. And by the way, a lot of crabs come from Louisiana. The folks from Pecan Island and what's the guy's name? Chewed'em. What's his name? The star of the show?
Oh, Troy.
Troy.
And
yeah.
I can't think of
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
Troy
yeah.
Landry.
Troy Landry. Yeah. Well, Troy's big. They're all big crabbers. And they actually have people from Maryland who went to Louisiana to crab and so forth, people that I know. Anyway, Pecan Island. It's right there in the Swamp People realm. This is a story out of Pecan Island by Charles Watson from Fox News.
Pecan or pecan?
Tomato, tomato. Look
Aesop
it up in the Bible.
I knew it was coming. So.
The state of Louisiana is upping the bounty on nutria rodents that devour and ruin thousands of acres of marshland in coastal Louisiana every year. You know, Blackwater has allegedly annihilated the nutria here in Maryland. You're saying no, they haven't?
No, I was about six. I think I don't think there's a bag limit on them.
No, I mean, there was a federal extinction program on them. I mean, wipe them out.
Yeah, exactly.
And they declared them gone.
And I think they're still around.
Oh, there's plenty of nutrients still in Maryland. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but just not, allegedly not on Blackwater. The folks at APHIS, which is the federal agency, a few controversies around that whole program, but, you know, couldn't get access to certain private lands. People didn't want the government on their land to, you know, shooting nutrients and so forth. But that being said, Louisiana's ate up with them.
It is not the nutrients' fault that's what they eat. Okay, I'm going to go a little liberal here. I mean, no, really, you know me. I'm pro-hunter, pro-all that, okay? But we have to annihilate them because they eat too much of your vegetation?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not arguing that point, but I was just curious.
The rodents have been eating away at the state's marshland, which protect already vulnerable Louisiana from major storms. The wetlands absorb wind and rain and help sustain wildlife, but they've been virtually eliminated by the pesky nutria as their population continues to grow.
Why can't we do that with mosquitoes instead?
Because they don't eat enough vegetation.
They eat enough of me.
There's no commercial market for mosquitoes. You got to get a billion of them to make a meal.
That's
and who
right.
would want to eat them anyway?
Bats do.
Yeah, bats will eat 1,000 of them a night.
I would rather have bats around me
well,
than
why
mosquitoes.
Why don't you put up a bat house?
I do have bats in the front of the house. Got bats in the house, too, in your belfry. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, feel the love.
Oh, isn't it sweet? You should have been on a trip up.
I can just imagine.
It was not that bad.
The ramped up the ramped up market for nutria meat could help the state reverse course on the destruction caused by the swamp rodent. Now, this is the interesting part. Over the decades that the nutria has been there, they've tried to get people to eat nutria. Ain't happening. It looks like a big rat. People don't want to eat it. So, Marsh Dog, a dog food company based in Baton Rouge, believes its company is one of the keys in preserving the state's marshland. It has opened a new market for nutria meat, which it then uses to produce dog treats the company is aiming to market nationally. During the hunting season between November and March, Marsh Dog has taken advantage of the bounty on the swamp rodents, buying nutria meat from the hunters around the state to produce its dog treats. The company's president, Hansel Harlan, said the company's plan isn't to get rich, rather it's to help Louisiana with a serious issue. Nutria are a herbivore, or an herbivore, that absolutely love our wetlands and devour it like nobody's business. By creating a market for nutria, we incentivize people to hunt the nutria, which keeps their population in check. Makes sense to me. The swamp rodents are native to South America. According to the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, they were first brought into the state in the 1930s. The population then exploded to as many as 20 million little marsh munchers. The trade for their fur was booming back then, which gave hunters and trappers an incentive to capture them for the sale of their thick, soft coat of fur. It's like a muskrat on steroids. Once the international fur trade began to dwindle in the mid-80s, harvests dropped, widespread damage caused by quickly populating nutria skyrocketed. The rodents, which reach sexual maturity about 3 months after birth and give litter of pups every 8 to 12 weeks, quickly repopulated. After damaging hundreds of thousands of acres of land coastwide, the state implemented its bounty program in 2002. We'll continue this if we get more time. Deer hunting is John's from Federalburg topic.
Good morning.
How are you?
Happy to be here. You know me. I'm the elderly gentleman now walking around most of the time on crutches.
I hear you. I know who you are. Absolutely.
Opening weekend, Saturday evening.
Yep.
I found myself in with a kind of a ethical and or possibly legal Maryland regulation dilemma.
Okay.
And I have my estate has 18 acres, 3 meadows. I have a blind set up between the first and the second meadow.
Right.
And Saturday evening, numerous deer. I never pulled the trigger, crossbow.
Right.
And in my sights, I've got them. If I want them, I don't want them. I know there's a buck back in there.
Right.
And this one particular doe came over to within about 10 feet of my blind, and then grazing, and then around to the blind side that was only barely, the zipper was barely open on the window.
Right.
And she made some god-awful noises. I couldn't tell whether she was bleeding or vomiting or what.
Right.
But then she leaned up against the side of the blind.
Okay.
Now, I've got this K-bar only an arm's length away.
Right.
And since this is archery season, we may not use firearms. But I'm no doubt in my mind, I could jam that K-bar right through my tent, and I've got my deer.
So
is it legal? Maryland hunting regulations? Is it ethical?
I don't know. I don't know if it's legal. Ethical, no. And I'll tell you why it's not ethical. She leaned up against the side of your blind. Where are you going to stick that knife?
Right through her chest. The zipper was opened wide enough that I can see right exactly where she is. But I didn't.
Good, good. I applaud you for that because, you know, I'm just not sure that that's... for me, that would be unethical.
Okay.
That's for me. But you can be the judge of that on yourself. We heard a story.
It took me 71 years to find myself in that position.
Yeah.
I doubt that I'll ever be in that position again.
I doubt it.
About others.
What kind of noise did she make?
I wish I could describe it.
Was she blowing her nose?
I wish I could answer your question. I don't know. And that was snorting is one of the terms that I used when I have discussed this over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if she snorted, that could be an alert deal. But if she's snorting at you, which I doubt if she's leaning up against the side of the blind. You said leaning up against the side of the blind.
It was like she was using it for a trampoline.
Oh, to bounce off. I'm thinking she might have been afflicted with perhaps nasal bots that were driving her crazy.
Yes.
Are you familiar with nasal bots?
I am.
They've been discussed on this show a couple times over the last few weeks. And I'm thinking that's a possibility right there because it is that time of year. Or, worse, she could be afflicted with EHD and happen to have a very high fever that has made her delirious. And she could be a survivor or she could possibly not. In either case, if something that's discomforting has caused her to make this noise, you definitely made the right decision.
As I thought about it afterwards, if that window had been open, it was not. That window is about 10 by 14 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I could have reached out with both hands and arms and strangled that hussy. There's no doubt in my mind she was... you laugh.
No, it's me, not him.
Fascinating to watch the antics.
Yes, of course.
Especially the fawn. There's a Christmas song about watching reindeer play.
Yeah, yeah.
To watch them play, I don't know whether it's stag or monkey in the ring.
It's fun.
It is fascinating to watch them all.
No question. Well, you know what, though? You had that very close encounter with a wild animal, which is pretty unique. And I think that's the memory, not bringing about killing the thing. So.
Well, I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but decocking the
doe. Well, you're waiting for the buck. You didn't want the doe anyway.
I was set up facing east into my first meadow, and that buck showed on the south window in the second meadow.
Of course he did. That's what they do.
I've been chewing myself out about it ever since.
Well, you know what? You'll have another opportunity. It's a long season.
Yes.
Appreciate the call, John.
Thank you.
That was a good call.
All right. Yeah, you know who John is. You see him in Easton all the time.
When the two of you see me again, please beat me over my head, get my attention.
We will do that.
We'll do that.
Thank you, sir.
A formal introduction to Robin.
All right, we'll do that. Thank you, buddy. See ya.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. All right. Somebody went to a meeting. Captain Don.
Good morning.
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 This morning, Miss Spark.
I like that.
Good morning.
So, tell us about the striped bass meeting presented by the Atlantic States Marines Fisheries Commission.
Consume whatever you want to call it. A DNR made the presentation, and I guess the quick overview is there was a presentation on various data that was collected, and you may have gotten a handout. Somebody may have. The handout up to you.
Okay.
It was condensed into the presentation, and then it was carefully controlled. The meeting was carefully controlled. clarifying questions, and then a period of comment. And the period of comment was recorded, and one of the representatives from DNR summarized some comments, like common comments, various representatives of sport fishing groups, the captains, the bay captains, commercial folks, some environmental groups. They tried to summarize the comments in support of the options that were presented as far as this addendum is concerned.
Right.
Now, a lot of us had a hard time understanding some of the different aspects of the presentation, and we would have been there asking questions about that.
Did they talk like scientists?
Yeah, but, you know, I think they really did try to dumb it down for people like me. But still, you know, a lot of the acronyms and all had to be explained.
Right.
DNR, from what I can recall, DNR did not come up with a recommendation or anything. Like, they tried to stay strictly with the comments from the group. And I got to tell you, I was very impressed with folks, especially like the commercial people. I mean, they make compelling cases for their preferences, options.
Reduce the size limit.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things that kind of intertwine. But
yep.
When I look away from the meeting, Maryland does probably the best job of all these states, because we're looking at like what Massachusetts has been doing lately.
Right.
I mean, they're having tournaments up there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mortality. And, you know, in our group, I went with the Pasadena Sports Fishing group. We had like 6 or 7 guys went down, and I was anticipating like a rock and roll meeting, you know, fist fighting, people rolling. It wasn't that at all. It was.
That's too bad.
Everyone there just conducted themselves so well that,
yeah,
I got a lot of good information from the representatives as opposed to the DNR.
So, department, yeah. Now, I was under the understanding that it was the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission that would be doing the presentation rather than our Maryland DNR. I was also under the impression that Maryland DNR would have some comments afterwards. I'm guessing that the meeting in Cambridge is when the DNR will be making its reply. If you said they didn't reply or didn't answer or didn't have, you know, something that they wanted to comment on afterwards, I'm guessing that they're going to wait till a little later. So.
Well, my understanding is the meetings were supposed to mimic each other.
Right.
And that the folks, I hope I'm saying this correctly, the folks from DNR who were there are the representatives on that consortium thing.
Right.
Does that make sense? So it's kind of like what you just said. And I guess it's the point folks from Maryland who are involved with the consortium or whatever. But, I hope I kind of gave a good overview in that regard. I got to tell you something, if you have a minute.
Sure.
I heard some of the old timers, quote unquote, talk about a way to achieve this reduction, at least statistically, is to count, obviously, dead fish. Like, if you catch a striper and you gut him, or, you know, I always say gut hook him,
yeah,
or whatever, you know he's going to die.
Yeah.
And if he's a 16, 17, 18-inch fish, why don't you count him as part of your bag?
Oh, absolutely. But they won't.
Now,
they don't.
No, I asked that question, and I couched it in a way, hey, I'm a new guy, I'm listening to the old guys, and
right,
I'm hearing them. And the guy from the NR, just, you know, the kind of guy that won't work for me. He said, you know, we really haven't, like, thought of that. And yeah. I thought it was full of force.
All goes back to ethics. Look, I shot a deer one night and didn't find it. Tracked it and jumped it and it went on to neighboring property, and didn't have permission to be there. I said, okay, I'll come back in the morning, and I'll retrieve this animal. So after did everything I was supposed to do to retrieve the animal, when I got to the animal, it had been eaten. I mean, to the point where it was unrecoverable. It was you know, early season, like it is now. It was, and so I said, you know, whatever started eating it's going to finish eating it because I can't use it. Now, what was my decision? My decision was to call that in, leave that animal, but call it in and add it to my bag limit at that point, you know, because there needs to be an accounting. I couldn't use it. Unfortunately, it went back to nature. I took that animal's life. At least the very, very least I can do is try to harvest it, but there was nothing left to harvest. So the very least I could do was take responsibility for it and count it against my bag limit, which is exactly what I did. I don't know.
Well, there's a whole lot of, like I said, intertwined things that go along with this, but
sure.
Another point, on most, let me see, most in attendance did not trust the data that was being collected by these surveyors to go out for especially when it comes to the recreational folks, because I said there tends to be an overestimation of the recreational folks.
Yeah.
And that's to do with people on the boat bragging about how many they threw back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, I threw 60. Oh, let's do with this stuff. The data collector.
Right. Well, let's see.
A whole lot of neat stuff, and I learned quite a bit, and again, just by listening to the people.
I fully intend to go to the meeting next Thursday in Cambridge, and just so people understand what we're talking about a meeting conducted by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission on striped bass management. There is a proposal on the table. It's a draft addendum 6 to Amendment 6, whatever that means. And if you go online, you can click on it and understand it. But it's, you know, it's a lot of eye-bleeding reading. But the meeting is October 3rd, 2019, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., the American Legion in Dorchester Post 91. That's on 601 Radiance Drive in Cambridge, Maryland. And if anybody wants more information, I'll be more than glad to send it to them about it. But it's readily available on the department's website. So, all right, buddy. Appreciate the call. Don? Did Don leave?
I think he faded.
I think he went away. Or fell off, something happened. Hey, let's talk about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway Exit number 9. I want to tell you, hunting season's here, and it's time to take a look at those Browning firearms. Yes, indeed. Now, I talked about the AB3 Hunter. That's the combo gun, the high-powered rifle, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then I talked about the BPS pump with the bottom ejection and so forth. But let me tell you about a couple other ones. There's the X-Bolt. If you want to step it up just a little bit on your high-powered rifle, take a look at the X-Bolt. The X-Bolt is a beautiful bolt-action firearm. It's available in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. It's extremely accurate. Big game hunting perfection is what we call it. It's adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine, and it's really a nice gun from Browning. I mean, it's a Browning. What else do you have to say? Then you can take a look at the A5, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balanced, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Comes in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass blades, DuraTouch camo, which means nothing's going to rust on it, fiber optic front sight, the humpback receiver. It's ergonomically balanced, and it's got a recoil-operated kinematic drive system. It's an autoloader. So it's got a 100,000-round or 5-year guarantee. What's wrong with that deal? The A5 from Browning, very, very popular. All these are available at Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer, Browning handguns, rifles and shotguns, and other accessories at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, scope mounting. 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports. Open every day. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Where can you find the store that's called the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers? Why, that would be Chesapeake Outdoors, and that would be Kent Island. Route 50 East, exit 39B, that is the Dominion Road exit on Kent Island in Chester, Maryland. That's right. They've got everything for the bow hunter as well as the firearms hunter, and the Vertex Matthews compound bow is leading the pack. The Mission crossbow, the Mission Sub 1 XR, is a wonderful crossbow, very accurate, probably as accurate as anything, if not the most accurate. And then there's the Raven, the R26 and the R29 models. These are spectacular crossbows for those of you who enjoy that type of hunting. The clearance sale on Hoyt Archery continues till they're gone. There's about 7 or 8 left on the rack. They also carry 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett. Custom arrows can be cut. Your bow can be tuned. Talk to my old buddy Pete Morris about that. He can install all the accessories, the peep sights, the D-rings, and the whole deal. Camouflage apparel for all season and thousands of accessories for bows and muzzleloaders and firearms. Muzzleloaders and accessories by CVA and Thompson Center. Firearms and ammunition by Remington and Chiappa and all the different ammunition brands. Dove gear, waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot, and camo. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, and Rambo electric bikes, all at Chesapeake Outdoors. Again, exit 39B, Dominion Road, off of Route 50. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. Oh, did I mention tree stands? They carry them, too.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade for sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot.
All right. So we're talking, we were talking about Nutria, right? Okay. So the rodents which reach sexual maturity at 3 months and produce a litter every 8 to 12 weeks, that's 2 to 3 months, quickly repopulated after the fur crash back in the 80s. After damaging hundreds of thousands of acres of land coastwide, the state implemented its bounty program in 2002. The rodents, the damage to marshland has decreased dramatically. However, reduced harvest since the 2015 to 2016 hunting saw nutria damage to wetlands increase to 16,424 acres of land, the highest estimate of damage since more than 20,000 acres were harmed in 2009, according to Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries. So it's a lot of acres of marshland. Harlan said the bounty program is currently the most ethical way to deal with Louisiana's nutria problem. He's hoping the state's goal of capturing 400,000 nutria annually is achieved by his company. This is a guy that owns a dog food company, to the point where there'll be no need to have a bounty program any longer. We use hundreds of thousands of pounds of nutria meat every year. We're hoping that over time we'll be able to significantly reduce or displace the need for the bounty program. That's $4 million a year coming out of the Louisiana taxpayers in order to control this evasive species. I think he meant invasive species. We could help reduce that number that's spent on the bounty control program. We consider that a positive. A fellow by the name of Justin Choate, he's an alligator hunter and a former member of the History Channel reality show Swamp People, kills anywhere between 4 and 6,000 nutria in the same area in Pecan Island every year. Robin, would you agree there's probably a couple too many of them down there if one guy kills 4 to 6,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not the... Never mind. It got a little heated here during the...
We had a little discussion. He and his chocolate labs go out in the marsh when the temperatures are at their coolest and collect as many as the orange-toothed swamp rodents as possible. For him, it's a way to bring in some extra money, whether it be from the state bounty program or by selling meat to the companies like Marsh Dog. It's also a way for him to play his part in helping to slow the damage nutria caused to the marshland that protects the coast from storm surge and high winds when major storms hit, like Hurricane Barry earlier this summer. Here's what Mr. Choate says. You'll see a piece of marsh with trees all over it, a mile long, a mile wide, that when a hurricane comes like that, the marsh moves. The more vegetation and land that gets chewed up and washed away, the more susceptible we are to storm surge, especially for the big hurricanes. The more land we have out there, the less we have to worry about the surge, but it's getting less and less every year. Mr. Choate is thankful that a market is opening for the nutria meat, but he thinks more needs to be done to prevent further destruction of the marshland. He'd like the state to allow hunters like himself to hunt nutria year-round as opposed to the 5 months between November and March. At the current rate of destruction of the marshland, he's concerned his children won't get to experience things like hunting alligators and shrimping along the coast as he once did. You just can't leave these nutria to repopulate. Otherwise, it's going to be catastrophic. If we don't start doing more, our coastlines are going to be gone away quicker than they should be. So there you go. There's more to it, but I think you get the point. There's a company down there called, what's it called? Marsh Dog. There you go. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's talk a little bit about the measuring deer. White-tailed deer, sika deer, and black bears for bucks, bears, and stags. There is an event today. It's up in Cecil County, and it's at
Giffords Farm Store.
Nice little farm store. I saw a lot of stuff, a lot of deer corn. And
I'm going
like
for
that.
Pumpkins.
You're going for pumpkins?
And mums.
Okay. Well, they got their harvest day or whatever they call it today, and are measure, official measure, lives right around the corner, Bobby Newton. He'll be there measuring deer antlers. So last chance to get your deer antlers measured for the record book, which is coming out in December. We're working diligently on that. Bucks, bears, and stags is measured 130-some. That's a boom line.
Okay.
130-some animals in our 2 years, but we've got the records for the past 30. Public records of the top deer and Sitka deer and bears in Maryland for the top past 30 years. And we're going to use them to publish first ever record book here in Maryland called Maryland's Finest. So watch for that. You'll be hearing more about it. We're looking for folks to help to publish that as well as whatever you want to call them, benefactors or sponsors or things like that.
And they can bring their kids, too, and their family, because they've got a corn maze, 20-plus crafters, vendors, loaded baked potatoes, and pumpkins.
You switched back to Gifford Farm.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were still on that.
No, I was talking about the record book.
It all goes together, because that's the last chance to get the deer. I was trying to look it up. I wasn't quick enough.
Correct.
He is really picking on me today.
So you interrupted me in the middle of talking about the record book and how people can help if they want to.
Okay, excuse me. I'll go back to be my little...
So where is Gifford's Farm? What's their address? Do you have it?
I don't like you anymore.
It's Rising Sun.
1553 Biggs Highway.
Biggs Highway. That's the main route in and out of... I know right where it is. Biggs Highway in Rising Sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gifford's Farm Market. Love it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Bucks, Bears, Stags, by the way, has an active Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, they got to see the new ones we just put on. They look great.
Are there some new ones on?
Yeah, Bobby put a bunch of new ones on this week.
Yeah, there's a number of them. Yep, there sure is. Sitka deers, whitetail, black bears, they're all on there. 410-922-6680 is our phone number.
You know, you keep talking about the ride up here. Just wait for the ride home after this.
We're not going home. We're going to Gifford's. So
it's going to be a long way home.
So stow it.
It's going to be a long ride.
Yeah, it might very well be a long ride home. I don't want to talk about Nutri anymore. I don't want to talk about grizzly bears attacking hunters anymore. We did go on a nice trip to Maine and beyond, didn't we?
Yes, we did. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
That's my favorite country.
Beautiful country. Maine to, well, Boston wasn't so hot for me, but, you know.
Boston's ever populated.
Well, we went to Quincy Market, right? And that was on
a Saturday.
And South Boston Street Festival was going on.
It was a little crowded.
I did see something I've never seen before, though.
Oh, the man on the pogo stick that I didn't see.
The guy on the pogo stick. He's like 15 feet in the air. You've seen this, Chris. Guy did. He said, okay, you ready? I'm going to do a trick. He bounced on a pogo stick and did a backflip.
And not a regular pogo stick.
Extended. Yeah, he was already 5 feet off the ground when he was bouncing on it. He bounced on the pogo stick.
Oh, he was more than 5 feet, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, but did a backflip.
Wow.
Then he did a front flip.
All on a pogo stick.
On a pogo stick. And then he did three backflips in a row.
Holy
and landed
cow.
Upright on a pogo stick.
Wow.
What's his name, the pogo?
Somebody, the pogo guy or something. He's got a website, pogo.
I was going to say probably just Google
or Facebook, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like
Jim the pogo guy or whatever. But that was kind of cool to watch that outside of Quincy. Quincy Market's a great place. It's
mm-hmm.
just shoulder to shoulder. You couldn't get through.
Yeah.
You know, so we ate at Legal Seafood. It was good. Yeah. That was Boston. Next day we were in Portland and we had a wonderful narrated.
The look on the
narrated
face.
Guided tour to Kennebunkport.
Okay.
We learned more about what's her name?
Britney Spears.
No.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. We learned more about Taylor Swift than anybody ever needs to know in their entire life.
In Maine.
In Maine.
Yeah,
no,
but
yeah,
she's from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly.
But she got married.
She got married in Kennebunkport.
Oh, okay. Of course. Gosh forbid anybody should talk about the Bush compound.
She's single.
Yeah, she's single, but she got married.
It's
dangerous to date her because, you know, if you date her, then the next thing you know, your whole relationship ends up being a number one single for her.
I know, isn't that something?
That's scary.
I know, but anyway, she got married in this church up in Kennebunkport in a video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then on the way back, we found out where her lawyer eats lunch.
And where she likes to go to lunch.
So it sounds as if the person that you were with had an affinity for Miss.
No, he just, as my father used to say, was vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
Gotcha.
He had diarrhea of the mouth.
That my grandmother used to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, there wasn't a second he didn't fill with some type of blather.
Finally, he said, my daughter lives in Alaska. And I said, I know why.
So anyway, that was Kennebunkport. We did see the Bush compound. We did go on a boat trip out of Kennebunkport.
Okay.
The captain and his brother were both recreational licensed for lobsters, so they pulled their lobster pots up, and we got to see that.
Uh-huh.
Saw some live lobsters and some
sculpin.
That part was really fun. And the Bush compound is just monstrous. Every person named Bush has a house on that compound.
I believe it.
Yeah. You know,
they got a new restaurant up there. We didn't get to try because it wasn't open, but it was on a schooner. It was really cool looking.
Mm, that looks good. That was Kennebunkport. Then Bar Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, where Robin walked her butt off and we ate lobster ice cream.
That was good. It's in butter pecan base, not the pecans in it.
Oh, okay.
But like a butter base.
Okay.
So you have the butter and the lobster, and but it's frozen, and it was really, really good.
Is that where you went to town and eating your lobster rolls?
It was different.
Well, we got a lobster.
So we got a lobster there.
And it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Hmm.
It was like the lobster feast.
We're getting
special
to the best one last, our last
meal.
Yeah,
so anyway, we went from Bar Harbor, we took a nice little ride through
Acadia
Park. Saw deer, flock of turkeys. No moose, no bears. There's none up there.
Saw a deer.
We did see a deer. That's right.
I'm surprised you didn't see a moose.
They're not in the park. So anyway, Thunderhole and the coastline and all that stuff. We saw all that, but never saw the first duck. Very little waterfowl. Seagulls, cormorants.
Yeah, you're always going to find them.
Very little seagulls, though, really, even.
Yeah, very little. Anyway, on up to Kennebunkport.
Halifax,
Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. Another guided tour.
But he was good.
Guy was a little better. Well, that first guy wasn't so good. But anyway, it was a double-decker bus, a pink bus.
No. That was the bus we took to Peggy's
Cove. Oh, that was St. John's.
And the Titanic.
Oh, that guy was good. Yeah, that was a comfortable bus. That guy was good. We went to Titanic Graveyard, saw that.
Okay.
Not a lot of nice stories. Heard about the big explosion in Halifax. Did you ever heard about the Halifax explosion during the Revolutionary War?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, killed 2,000 people, injured 900, took out a quarter of the town.
I was going to say, what caused the explosion?
It was a ship in the harbor.
Oh.
A French munition ship.
That says it all.
Another ship was in the way. They bumped the barrels of, what was the
cannons?
No.
Start with a B.
Something bumped and caused a spark.
This liquid spilled on the deck, and then there was a spark, and the whole ship went up in the whole one.
Okay.
So then we went from there up to St. John.
Well, we did the Titanic.
We did the Titanic graveyard.
That was really cool.
That was good.
Well, yeah.
And Peggy's Cove. We did Peggy's Cove.
That meal was okay.
Food was real mediocre, but the view's spectacular. Then we went from there to St. John. In New Brunswick, which is only 2 hours from my deer camp. Yeah.
I fell in love with St. John. Yes. I loved Halifax the first time, but St. John,
St. John's
I really liked
with the Bay of Fundy and the reversing tide.
Got to see all that.
That's pretty cool.
Bay of Fundy, cool.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we did.
And then we learned about that guy's history as a school teacher and a coach. On the pink bus. Hop on, hop off, 12 stops along the route. We stopped two places. Every place else was closed.
We went the first run of the morning.
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
But we got the best meal of the day, best meal of the trip.
We did.
Billy's Seafood. If you ever get to Halifax City, or not, St. John's City Market, Billy's is at the end of it. And it is amazing food, amazing people. Best lobster roll on the trip. Best chowder anywhere.
Chowder?
Yep.
Chowder.
Yep.
It was real chowder. It wasn't that creamy, it was real chowder. So anyway, it was a great trip.
Cool.
Had fun on the ship.
Yep. Hey, we got to take a break.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're good. I got to tell the folks about Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. Their phone number, if you want to write it down, is 242-6108. 410-242-6108. I'm going to tell you about the Hell's Canyon. Comes in three different models. It's an X-Bolt. You know, I talked about the X-Bolt earlier. The X-Bolt Hell's Canyon comes in a real cool-looking arid urban camo with a Dura-Touch finish composite stock, a Cerakoted barrel. It's a fluted sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, adjustable trigger, and bolt action. Comes in select calibers, but three models. The Speed, which is a little shorter, the Long Range, and then the McMillan model. So check all that out. It's the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon. If you're looking for a really cool-looking, high-powered bolt-action rifle, that's it. Now let's talk about the Maxxis shotgun. This is an autoloader. It's got the power drive gas system that reduces recoil, 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. Comes in mossy oak camouflage, and it is waterfowl hunting superb. Clyde Sports Shop, your Browning, full-line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108.
Knocking on the door of 90 degrees this afternoon, and we could even see some mid-90s coming up for early October. Big, strong areas of summer-like high pressure hanging tough here to finish out September and kick off the new month. Now near 90 this afternoon and 72 tonight. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors. You know what? They call Chesapeake Outdoors the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. You know why they're the first choice? Because when you get across the bridge, they're the first place on the right-hand side. That's right. Exit 39B, Dominion Road, off Route 50 on Kent Island. They have got firearms and ammunition by Remington and Chiappa, muzzleloaders and accessories by Thompson Center and CVA, Costa glass sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo bikes, a tremendous selection of waterfowl calls and decoys and steel shot and gear, tree stands, dove gear if you need anything for the dove season, camouflage apparel for all season, boots, hips, and waders, custom arrows, bow tuning, and accessories. And why do they have custom arrows, bow tuning, and accessories? Because they sell Matthews compound bows, including the Vertex, the Mission crossbows, the Raven crossbows, the 10-point Excalibur Carbon Express, Barnett, and more. And they've got a few Hoyt left on blowout, closeout prices. Why not check them out? Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
So we just got a text from our buddy Bruce from Easton. He said, do they have portable radios? They still sell portable radios? I'm up in the stand right now. Apparently he's listening on flip phone. So that's cool. That's cool. So All right. I hear them.